Being thankful for the good things that come is always a joy, and there's a subtler, a deeper thing for which we may be thankful, and that is the concept that David brought up in his psalm once the ark had been returned to Israel, to be thankful for mercy. This is not something we spend a lot of time thinking about, and yet I think we should. We find that in the scriptures, this phrase, this part of his psalm, is repeated almost word for word over and over and over again. In Psalm 106:1, praise ye the Lord. That's the Hebrew for hallelujah, praise Jehovah. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 107, verse 1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 118:1, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. You're getting the picture? This is something that was a thought that if it didn't dominate, it was obviously recurring. We ought to get to the place where this is an oft-recurring thought to us. The Bible gives constant praise for God's mercy. To understand why, let's examine and emphasize the various parts of this command that are given in 1 Chronicles 16:34. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The first part is give thanks. This is then a command. This is one of those things we'll be talking about tonight. It is a duty of the believer. This isn't just an option. This is something that you ought to be doing. Oh, give thanks. In this passage, King David has successfully brought the Ark of the Covenant back home to Jerusalem. And Spurgeon had this to say, speaking of David, the grateful hero feels that he cannot himself alone sufficiently express his thankfulness, and therefore he calls in the aid of others. So he says to everybody, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Grateful hearts are greedy of men's tongues and would monopolize them all for God's glory. The whole nation was concerned in David's triumphant accession, becoming king, and therefore it was right that they should unite in his adoring song of praise. Have we been of a forgetful or murmuring spirit, griping, grumbling? Let us hear the lively language of the text and allow it to speak to our hearts. Cease your complaining. Cease from all self-glorification and give thanks unto the Lord. We find that this whole concept of giving thanks is an important theological aspect of the Christian life. If you are missing this theme of giving thanks, you're missing a great deal. You can get to this place. My wife, when she becomes a little overwhelmed with things, like when she was making a turkey and gravy and all this stuff for the meal today, she gets to this place where everything that is just a little bit off, she has to comment on it. You know, it's like, now I can't find this, you know, and why is it so hard to do that, you know, and it's one of those things where, you know, I understand what's going on. I try to be in there to help set things up. But it's like, you know, and now the door's creaking, and now this, and you know, it's like every little thing comes up. We can get that way just in our life. And we ought not. Because, again, we were talking last week that one of the emphasis that the Lord gives us is think of the lovely things. Think of the virtuous things. If there be any praise, think on these things. And this is that part of our life where we can take control of this. You say, yes, but this has gone wrong, this has gone wrong, and this has gone wrong. Yes, but not everything has gone wrong. Not everything is bad. Not everything is horrid. Not everything is broken. Not everything is lost. Not everything about your body aches, you see. You'd be in the hospital, right, if that were the case. What we need to realize is that being thankful is something we need to keep at and exercise. Romans 1:21, he talks about the people who were sinful, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So what happened? They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. On the positive sense, Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Now, you say, all things? How can I give thanks for all things? Well, think about it for a minute. And I think this study on mercy will help you in this. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about tough things, bad things, unpleasant things? Yes, even them. We can give thanks to God that they weren't any worse. We can give thanks to God that, in fact, they were a part of our life that strengthens us. In Philippians 2:14, do all things without murmurings and disputings. You see, that's that grumbling thing we go through, right? Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your heart. If that peace is ruling, then you are at peace. To the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You say, how do I do that? That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to, the Greek literally confessing, to his name. We need to recognize that it is one of the commands of God to not keep looking at every little thing that's upsetting you. You see, you will always find those things, but that's not the focus. Rather, the focus is giving thanks. And there are dire consequences in your mind, in your spirit, if you neglect to give thanks. So, I told a lady once, go to the passage in 1 Timothy 3 that talks about the character quality that a man must have to be a pastor and a deacon. Write down all of those good qualities, and then your husband, who's neither a pastor or a deacon, I want you to start noticing every time you see even a glimmer of those things in him, because those are the things I want you to bring up to him, saying, what a blessing it was for me to see you doing this. We talk about being persuasive with people in our bulletin today. One of the great ways of being persuasive is by praise. You know the people who think they're going to persuade you by antagonizing you all the time, by saying, "Boy, you didn't do very good at all," you know. And you know that that's not very persuasive. But when you are praised for something, you say, oh, well, maybe I'll work a little harder on that one. See? And so it is when you find a good thing in people's life, tell them about it. In fact, even better, while you're around that person, tell others about that person and their praiseworthy things. Learn to do that and you become persuasive to these people. Now, being thankful is one thing, but the scripture here is quite specific. Thank Jehovah. Jehovah is the personal name of God. It is that name that he took. My name is John or Jack, and it has a meaning, but it's my personal name. You know, I go by lots of titles, pastor, and daddy, and sweetheart, or whatever, you know, all those things. Doctor, teacher, professor, and all those things, depending on where I am. But while all of those are really like names to me, in the final analysis, they're really a title that refers to some part of me, whereas my name is me. And so it is with the name Jehovah. It is truly his name. He presents it as his name. And other of the idols had names that were given to them by men. But God, if you read the capital O-R-D, Lord, realize it's the name Jehovah, you'll find that he calls himself, I am Jehovah, God of Israel. And so the idea of it being a personal name is an important concept here, because that is the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the triune God. That is Jehovah. It is the transcendent God. It is the God that we bow before. It is the true and living God. And it is to him that we are to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, unto Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Spurgeon again says, the thanks were to be rendered unto Jehovah alone, and not to the patience and or valor of the hero himself. It is always well to trace our mercies to him who bestows them. And if we cannot give him anything else, let us at any rate give him our thanks. We must not stop short at the second agent. In other words, God may give us something through the hand of someone else. We can thank them, but don't stop there with the second agent. Go to the first cause. But rise at once to the first cause and render all our praises unto the Lord himself. So we find in the Psalm 9:1, I will praise thee, O Jehovah, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy wondrous works. Psalm 33:1, rejoice in Jehovah. You see the word there. O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. We need to see also, not just giving of thanks, not just giving of thanks to Jehovah, but in this whole giving of thanks, recognize we are dealing with the character of God. Recognize Jehovah is good. Sad to say, it is quite possible for us to come to the place where we kind of bow our shoulders and trudge through life and saying, life is hard, God is hard on me, you know. And we lose the sense of how good God is. Now, this is building toward this concept of mercy, you see. But he is good. Recognize Jehovah is good. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, Spurgeon, who wrote a great deal on the Psalms, this is reason enough for giving him thanks. Goodness is his essence and nature, and therefore he is always to be praised, whether we're receiving anything from him or not. You catch that? Are you in a part of your life when you're not getting anything, things are down, things are bad, you lost your job, you lost your house, you lost your cell phone? whatever the situation, see? God is still good. He ought to be praised because he's still good. Spurgeon goes on to say, those who only praise God because he does them good should rise to a higher note and give thanks to him because he is good. Jesus said, there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. If others seem to be good, recognize that he is good. If others are good to a certain degree, He is good beyond any measure. When we become aware that we are far from being good, we should reverently bless Him because He is good. He needs to be our instruction, our guide in all of that. Never tolerate even an instant of unbelief concerning the goodness of God. Don't tolerate that in your life. It is not only that He was good and that He will be good, but the transcendent God is always who He is. He is good. 1 John 4:8, He that loveth and knoweth, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. We need to recognize then that His very essence is described as love, and that is part of His being good. Part of His goodness is, in fact, the fact that He is love. But now we come to the heart of the message, and that is to recognize that all of this leads us then to this one great thought, that we are to be thankful that Jehovah is merciful. We need to have a clear view of what merciful is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. The Amtrak dictionary defines mercy as the divine goodness, part of His goodness, exercised toward the wretched and the guilty in harmony with truth and justice. Psalm 85:10, mercy and truth are met together, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Come to mercy and truth often are at opposites. Mercy says, I don't want to think about that truth. And truth says, I'm not going to be merciful. But in God, they come together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other there. They go on in the dictionary. The plan by which God shows saving mercy to men for Christ's sake is the consummate work of infinite wisdom and love. Again, Spurgeon says, mercy is a great part of His goodness, and one which more concerns us than any other, for we are sinners and have need of His mercy. Angels may say that He is good, but they need not His mercy and cannot therefore take an equal delight in it. Inanimate creation declares that He is good, but it cannot feel His mercy, for it has never transgressed. But man, deeply guilty and graciously forgiven, beholds mercy as the very focus and center of the goodness of the Lord. You see, we who have been forgiven, we who have been justified, have experienced mercy, a mercy beyond any possible right to expect it. God does not keep His goodness to Himself, though He could. The Bible speaks of the extent of His goodness. Psalm 145:9, the Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And the greatest evidence of His mercy to us is the giving of His Son. Remember Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If He would not withhold His Son from us, what would He withhold? Let's recognize then that Jehovah's good, His mercy, is eternal, unchanging. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, Spurgeon said, the best of earthly joys pass away, and even the world itself grows old and hastens to decay, but there is no change in the mercy of God. Let me lead you then to close our message on a meditation on mercy. I want you to think about mercy and why we ought to be every day rejoicing in it and giving thanks to God concerning it. What is mercy? To be a little more technical, grace refers to God giving us what we do not deserve, while mercy refers to God not giving us what we do deserve. You see the difference? Mercy is the act of one who could give misery, but chose to withhold it. Mercy. How can we recognize mercy in our lives so that we can be thankful for it? Well, we cannot be thankful for God's mercy until we recognize that he owes us nothing but punishment. Now, I don't suppose that's a shocking thought, but perhaps it's one of those things that doesn't come to mind very often. McDonald's keeps telling us we deserve a break today. But in actuality, God says, all I owe you is punishment. God does not owe you any happiness. He does not owe you any peace. You see, you have earned wages by your sin. The wages our sins have earned is the second death. His salvation, his protection from the fire, all of that is mercy. Think of eternity in hell. Imagine the searing pain of burning to death as your only thought. Think of it as existing where burning to death is your only consciousness. See, by contrast to that, if in this life God had made you deaf and blind and an invalid and in constant pain for the rest of your life, that, as bad as it is, would be nothing compared to an eternal hell. If he gave you a very difficult life, but gives you an eternity in heaven, he is a God of mercy. For you deserve, and I deserve, that hell. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. We've been talking about our debt of sin. Forget that just for a moment. Let's step back and consider God's right over us, God's right over you, based on his right as a creator, as the one who made you. Jeremiah 18, 1-6 tells us this, and it's a long passage, but read with me. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. Of course, a potter is one who makes pots, clay pots. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he, the potter, wrought a work on the wheels, or the frames of the seats, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. The King James margin says, or was marred as clay in the hand of a potter. So he's making the bowl, but something happened. It cracked apart or something. So he made it again. The Hebrew literally, he returned and made it, you see. So he just lumped it all back together, added some more clay to it, spread it out, and he started making it again. as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then, once he had seen this, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. This is that forthright statement from God the Creator. I can do with you anything I want, for I am your maker. You have no rights as the thing made. I, as the maker, have all the rights. And so you need to recognize this. Do not, here is the question, cannot I do with you as this potter? The potter says, I don't like this pot. I'm going to remake it. We find this passage referred to in Romans 9, 20 and 21. Paul shakes a finger at his reader and says, Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? The King James margin says, or answerest again, you know, talk, back talk, or disputes with God. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? You know, you're just a clay pot. Are you going to get uppity with God? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor? Some beautiful vase sits up on the shelf and carries flowers, and another unto dishonor to carry garbage out or whatever. And so I say to you, think about it this morning, the mercy of God. Not only because you have sinned and he owes you an eternity in hell, his mercy that keeps you from that is a great mercy. But if God the Creator chooses you as a vessel of dishonor, do you, the created thing, have any legitimate complaint? You see, that type of complaint is only by comparison. Well, that vase looks better. How come I can't be like that? See? And you know what that is? It's pride, isn't it? How come they get something I don't get? And pride robs us of the thought of God's mercy. So what I want you to do this morning, to be thankful for God's mercy, is this. Consider your life. Is there any bright spot in that life? We will say yes. Is there any joy? Is there at all any relief from continual drudgery? Then please understand that that is a gift from God. He didn't have to give it to you. He could have made you any way, anything you wanted, you see. He wanted. So give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you've given to us an option this morning to realize that if things are very difficult for us in this life or at this period of our life, if there is disease, if there is poverty, if there is loss, if there is betrayal, we ask, Father, that you might help us to see that you have not yet laid upon us what we truly deserve. And in your mercy, you have blessed us. You have withheld the misery that we are due. And so, as a merciful God, we thank you. We thank you for being a God of mercy. We can thank you that you are good and that your mercy endures forever. with heads bowed, eyes closed. Would you say, Pastor, I realize I've been quick to cry out if there's any problem, but I have not been quick to cry out in praise because there's any spot of joy in my life. I have not been so quick to thank God that I have both of my legs. If God is dealing with you, I wonder if you just slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I need to come to the place where I thank God for his mercy. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over the building? Yes, amen. 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 Father, then we submit to thee, knowing that you could have made us any way you chose. You could have made us any kind of vile thing. And because of our sin against you, we in fact deserve nothing but judgment. But you have withheld that all. You who could have made us ultimately miserable. You could have taken our life in hell forever. Have given us instead salvation and opportunity and peace and quiet and joy and love and all the wondrous things of this earth that we can enjoy. And it comes to us from you, from the very one we could expect misery. We pray that you might help us then to fall upon our knees before you and to say thank you, that we are thankful for your mercy. We pray thy blessing then on each one. Give us that desire to understand your truth in Jesus' name. Amen.